Welcome to the Great Green Garden Show, brought to you by Paradise Gardens. I was having a nice little conversation off air with Margo, and I looked at the clock and realized, well, we better get on the air. But you were talking a little bit about the Arboretum, so what was that update you had?
Well, so the Bickle Hop Arboretum, almost done. They are starting to have events for the volunteers and for the wonderful donors that helped with the project. And so I think the ribbon cutting is May 1st, and then it will hopefully be officially open. And, of course, the troll is coming to the backgrounds of the Arboretum, so we'll get you an update on that, too. So a lot of exciting things going on. Big, big change for the Arboretum. Better parking, you know, just better access and handicap accessible. So, I'm really excited, and they're kind of getting to the point of winding that whole, renovation down. So that's pretty exciting.
Well, I know it's spring, and we keep telling ourselves that when we have a 70-degree sunny day that it's not going to be every day like that, and this weekend is just, today is just horrible with the overcast and the blustery winds. It's just not spring-like at all, but we know spring is on the way. It'll get here eventually, but you mentioned the troll, and I don't know if you're as excited about it as I am, but I just think it is so neat to see these gigantic trolls that they're going to start working on this month.
It's so exciting because it's unusual, unique. They're really cool. If you've Googled them and looked at any of the projects he's done in the past, there'll be one at the Sawmill Museum and one downtown. So it's, if people come from a distance, there'll be three trolls. And there are actually people that really do seek out these trolls because they're so unique. And of any of the listeners that don't know what I'm talking about, these trolls are huge. They're very, very large. They're made out of wood and a lot of local wood. So I think there was an article in the paper last week about donating wood and the kind of wood they need to help finish the body because it's going to be so big. So that's going to be exciting. And I'll have more updates on that once that project starts, and, of course, once it's finished, it'll be pretty exciting. And I think we'll have a lot of people come in from around the area, maybe even further, to see all three of them. So I'm excited for the Sawmill at downtown and then, of course, the Arboretum. And the Arboretum is starting to green up. There are a lot of areas where they did have to do some soil work, so there is exposed areas. And, of course, we ask people to stay off of those so we can get them seeded and get them replanted. But it's beautiful. I don't know that you can actually go to the Arboretum and walk in the building just yet because they are still working, the contractors. So I will let you know when that can happen. And, of course, May 1st is right now the ribbon cutting. So that's pretty exciting. It's been a while in coming, but we finally made it thanks to, you know, Clinton Community College, Ann Eisenman, and President Brian Kelly, and everybody else involved, and, of course, the wonderful donors. So I will keep you posted on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the Arboretum is within walking distance of where I live, and that was always Nancy and I would take walks and walk through the Arboretum on occasion, and we always look forward to doing that every spring and summer.
And, you know, it is starting to green up, and it's amazing that, you know, some lawns in the area are really green and other lawns are just really starting to barely show color. So don't worry, don't panic. The grass knows when it's time to grow, when it's warm enough to really kick in. And I do want to talk about lawns just a little bit this morning.
Before we jump into that, though, Margo, we do have a phone caller for you.
Great. Good morning.
Good morning, Margo. This question is about lawns. So I have an area in my yard where the downspout dumps into, and the soil, I need to do something with that soil because it's kind of gotten compacted and it doesn't drain well. So what's a good solution for that that's fairly easy? Is it adding sand or gravel or what
can
you do?
Okay, so your downspout just goes onto the ground or does it extend out into the lawn?
It's out into the lawn. And that area where it shoots into, it just kind of pools, you know. A lot of water sits there.
Right. Okay, and you are correct. It is from compaction and then also from being wet a lot and never really drying out. So there are a few things you might want to think about. And number one, if you could temporarily move the direction of that water so that you can go to that wet spot, there are a few thoughts I have. Number one, and it's going to sound goofy, is dig that soil up and help get rid of some of that compaction, okay?
Okay.
So that it's going to drain a little bit better. If you do that, and this is kind of unusual, and I don't want you to do it in any other part of the lawn, but when you dig that up, if you could put pea gravel or a little bit of sand in kind of in the bottom of the hole so that when it does drain, it's going to drain just a little bit faster.
Okay.
Also, mound it up just a little bit so it doesn't sit there. It's going to run off, and then eventually it will compress back down, but that's going to help. Another option is to just take one of those plastic hole roll-out hoses that attaches to your downspout and extend that water going out more. But that's a real hassle when you mow. You always got to stop and pick it up and something like that. And then you could, of course, put something at the very end of that downspout, like a stepping stone or something to disperse the water so it doesn't just hit right when it gets off the end of the spout.
Okay. How far down should I dig the soil?
I would go probably 6 inches. The deeper you go, the better. Is your soil pretty clay?
I don't really think so.
Okay. It's just from years of being at the end of a downspout.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, and that's another thing. Being wet all the time like that, a lot of the natural organisms and little microbes in the soil can't stand all that moisture, and they might not be there. So you don't have the normal soil. Your soil's kind of dead there. It would be comparable to the soil at the bottom of the river. You know, it doesn't get enough oxygen, and it just changes the whole dynamic. So what we want to do is either put a stone there or something that it's going to disperse the water in a different way, or dig the area up and fluff it up again. And you might have to do that every few years.
Okay. Adding some compost, would that help?
It would, especially if you have a clay type soil, because it's going to open it up a little bit and make drain a little bit. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the help.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. And you know, that's a great question for the other listeners is sometimes we do have areas, like if we don't have gutters and the rain drips off of the roof, you kind of get that line along the ground where it's just, again, compacted and too wet all the time, hard to get things to grow. So anytime you have standing water or a lot of water a long time, you're not going to have the normal grass or the normal plants. Now, if it's out in the yard that you have a wet spot, maybe the water runs down the hill and kind of pools, then you can go for something like river birch, any of the birch family members, a tree that can handle the extra moisture in the soil. Willows do really well. An Arctic willow, it has a blue foliage. and is kind of a large bush. Of course, the weeping willow, which is going to be a little bit messy, but it's a fun tree if you have a big yard. So there are plants that can tolerate water. What you don't want to do is put evergreens or conifers where there's a lot of water, because they aren't going to like it. And there are a few exceptions, of course. Bald cypress is one. There are a few exceptions, but for the most part, do not put evergreen or conifers in really wet areas. Okay, I want to talk real quickly about, if you do have a question, I'm sorry, this morning, by 563-242-1252. So it's 242-1252. So I want to quickly talk about grass seed with us having the rain in the forecast for the next few days. Cooler temperatures, yes, it is a good time to be putting grass seed down. It needs 50 to 55 degree soil temperature, which we've got right now. And remember that if you do a mix, it's going to include some kind of rye, probably a perennial rye, the bluegrass, and the fescue. The ryegrass is a really fast-germinating, tough grass. So ryegrass is often used like on football fields or playing fields where there's a lot of wear and tear. It does recover quite easily. Then the bluegrass is what makes up our beautiful green lawns. It's just a medium blade on that, and just loves our kind of weather that we have in the Midwest, the cool spring and the cool fall. And then the fescues that are in the mix can handle the shade. So if you do have an area that maybe has a little more shade or a lot of shade, you might want to, and it's a pretty good size area, you might want to get a shade mix instead of a sun mix for that particular area. Now, I have talked about fertilizer. You can be putting grass seed and fertilizer on now. You can buy a commercial fertilizer, but I want to talk a little bit about a natural one, more natural, and it's milorganite. M-I-L-O-G-A-N-I-T-E. I can't stop when I spell or I confuse myself. So it's called milorganite. It is actually eco-friendly, slow release on the nitrogen. The thing is, because it's kind of organic, it's not going to be super high in the nutrients like we see in the commercial fertilizers. So milorganite is a 6-4-0. 6% nitrogen, 4% phosphorus, and no potash. And commercial fertilizers can be like 25% nitrogen. So there is a big, big difference. However, it is slow release. It's got a good percentage of iron in it. It's got a lot of micronutrients. It's going to work for about 8 to 10 weeks, and then you might want to apply it again. Now, lawn fertilizers in the summer, you have to be a little bit careful, because if we get into a really hot, dry situation, we do not want to put fertilizer, any plant, we do not want to fertilize it unless it has adequate moisture and pretty good growing conditions. Now, as far as spring blooming bulbs, we have the crocus, the daffodils, the tulips starting to bloom out. And I just want to remind people, do not cut off or do not mow off that foliage of the spring bulbs, crocus, daffodils, tulips, hyacinths. There's a whole list of them. Do not mow them off. Do not cut that foliage off. Ideally, say, for instance, on the daffodil, if you have beautiful clumps of daffodils and can mow around them, if they're in a flower bed, they're fine. But if they're out in the grass or maybe around the edge of something or along the sidewalk, we want to leave those plants grow green and that foliage stay green as long as possible. And the reason for that is it's going to build the energy back into that bulb, and you're going to have beautiful blooms for next year. Now they're going to be green, and when they start turning yellow, which could be, you know, a good month, month and a half, then you can cut them off. The bulbs go dormant. They kind of hang in there. Then in the fall, the root system start again, and the whole process starts. So, again, do not cut off foliage. Also, the magic lily comes up now, looks just like a daffodil. That is going to die completely down, and then those flowers are going to come back in July and August.
Now, Margo, I know we're quickly running out of time, but we do have another caller, so let's see if we can get her on here.
Okay, great. Good morning. Can I help you? Hello?
Hi, you're on with Margo.
Good morning.
Okay, well, maybe she thought I said we've got time to squeeze her in, but maybe she thought I
said... Oh, no, I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Okay.
Good morning. Oh. What can I help you with?
I had a big, beautiful magnolia bush, and last year only half of it bloomed. And I was wondering if you would know anything about that. And then this year, only two limbs bloomed.
Okay, so it sounds like it's really struggling. Okay,
yeah.
Sounds like it's really struggling. They set their their flower buds in the fall. So do not prune them in the fall or winter or early spring because you'll be cutting off the flower buds. So the plant is either really struggling and not setting flower buds in the fall,